Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at our Hideaway studio in East County. Today we're going to be speaking with candidates for the Grossmont Healthcare District. There are six candidates running for three seats, and one of them is open because Betty Stieringer is retiring. We've spoken recently with one of the candidates already, Art Madrid, a healthcare advocate and former mayor of La Mesa. Today we're going to be speaking with incumbent Bob Ayers and challengers Virginia Hall, and a little bit later on, Jimmy Parker, another challenger, will be joining us. And in early October, we'll be speaking with the remaining candidates, Michael Emerson and Priscilla Schreiber. So Bob and Virginia, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Miriam. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you, Miriam, for inviting us to speak to your listeners.
So I'd like to ask each of you to start by giving us a little bit about your background and share with our listeners why you're running for the office, or in Bob's case, why you're running for re-election.
Okay. Well, thank you. I was first appointed to the board in 2010 from a list of 26 candidates and elected in 2012. The projects that are currently underway for the $247 million bond issue are nearing completion, but we still have a couple of years to go. It is important that we finish these projects on time and within budget so that we can continue to improve the unmet healthcare needs of the East County residents, of which there are roughly 500,000 constituents in the area and about 240,000 registered voters. So it's one of our objectives to continue to meet the unmet healthcare needs, and those challenges are enormous. And we're doing that by addressing the best in quality of healthcare.
Virginia, I understand that you are a registered nurse or retired registered nurse. Tell us a little more about your background and your goals for the office.
I'm really excited to be running for the Grossmont Healthcare District. I do have over 20 years of nursing background. I still hold the license, but I need 30 continuing education to keep it active. I'm excited. My nursing background includes working in hospitals, emergency room, clinics, and research facilities. I've participated on research boards, presented at several national nursing conferences, and have been published in medical publications. All my nursing career has been spent providing patient care and oversight connected to hospitals and their systems. I think the reason that I wanted to run for this, I was one of the 26 that ran against Bob when there was a vacancy. It is a board that works on unmet health care needs in the East County. And I personally would like to see more funds going to the nonprofit mental health care in the East County, as well as working on getting better access to our emergency room at Grossmont Hospital, as well as providing accountability, long-term planning, and quality oversight of the lease with Grossmont Hospital.
Yeah, Bob, for listeners that aren't familiar, can you give them a little bit of background about the lease situation with the hospital? Not everyone is probably familiar with the difference between the healthcare district and the Sharp Grossmont Hospital itself.
Thank you. Yes, the lease with the Grossmont Hospital Corporation was extended in 2014 with an overwhelming 86% voter approval to extend that lease for an additional 30 years. And that gave the hospital and the district sufficient time to continue to work towards their development plans, their long-range strategic plans, their core services, and that they're going to be here for a long time. And it's very important that the initial $247 million bond issue be applied, that those projects that are currently underway, the Heart and Vascular Center, which is just gone out to bid, and the surgical build-out portion of that, in addition to the improvements made on the existing facilities, and the cogeneration plant that came online just a couple of months ago.
Yeah, the cogeneration plant was very interesting. That saved the district a huge amount, and the taxpayers, we should note here, a huge amount of money, correct? It took the monthly utility bill from about $186,000 a month down to zero, and also significantly reduced air pollution. So that was quite an accomplishment. On another issue, I'd like to ask if either of you have any additional ideas for cutting any areas in the budget in order to free up more funds for the projects that you think should be priorities. Virginia, let's let you take that one first.
Well, some of my background also includes being the chair for the Santee Chamber of Commerce this year, which we do deal with budgets, and I lead the Santee Chamber. However, on the budget with the Grossmont Healthcare District, I have looked at it. I know that we have over $18 million budget, but to know exactly where I'd want to cut at this point, I haven't really delved into it far enough to know exactly where I would cut.
Okay, fair enough. Bob, did you have any comment on
yes,
that?
Yes, there's a couple of things to add, and I understand that from looking on the outside, it's hard to see what's
sure.
behind those numbers,
and I
do appreciate that. The refinancing of the bonds took place a short time ago, and the savings to the taxpayers of $28.6 million in interest cost is enormous. And that is an example of how good government can work when you have some financial experience in the background, of which I bring to the board. But more specifically, on our grants and scholarship budgets and sponsorship budgets, we actually increased that budget a couple of years ago mm-hmm. to address more of the unmet healthcare needs through various nonprofit organizations in the community. We continue to focus on that. We recently went outside of the budget and granted Mountain Health Empire $1 million to complete their healthcare facility in the East County,
very
which
nice.
Will reduce, we believe, significantly the number of patients that have to travel from the backcountry to the emergency room, and many yeah. of those patients can be treated right there.
Oh, that's good to hear. Full disclosure, by the way, I should mention that East County Magazine's Wildfire and Emergency Alert Service is sponsored in part by the Grossmont Healthcare District, helping us keep people safe and informed, so we certainly appreciate that, but we do want to disclose that to our listeners. On another issue, though, while Grossmont has made a lot of strides with beautiful new facilities and doing what they can to improve things in the emergency room, it is still the only major emergency room serving the entire East County. And so, understandably, it can be very crowded. Sometimes waits are still very long. What more can or should be done to reduce overcrowding in the emergency room? Virginia, we'll start with you.
Well, and that's one of the things I want to take a look at, because I have had constituents that have actually mentioned the emergency room experience, as well as I've had personal experience with that. And I think, since Obamacare has come into fruition, I think it has impacted our emergency room at Grossmont Hospital. And I think what we need to do is take a look at our situation there and see if we can cut down the wait times. And, you know, part of that is also the accessibility of beds in the hospital. So a lot of it goes into it that I personally have to, you know, take a look at, talk to people, see what's going on. But I know that that's an issue, and I know that that's something that I'd like to see if we can't work on solutions to.
Bob, how about you?
Yes, Virginia's hit on a very important issue, and I think it's imperative that we address those needs. That hospital emergency room, from my understanding, is one of the busiest emergency rooms in the state of California. Hospital has taken an aggressive approach to improving the throughput. They've looked at opening an additional urgent care center on the campus, which I think will be a help, but also it's an educational process to some degree. Many of the patients are using the emergency room as their primary care physician,
yeah.
when in fact it's not a true emergency and it could be treated at an urgent care center. So it's up to us to get that message out as best we can in an educational format
yeah.
to inform the public of you can have quality medical care, you don't always have to use the emergency room.
I'm curious, the Affordable Care Act, better known as Obamacare, for better or worse, it certainly had its, you know, good and bad points, I think most people would probably say, but one of the things it was touted for was that it could help ease, you know, traffic in emergency rooms, because if more people had health care and could see a primary care doctor early on, then maybe they wouldn't all be flooding the emergency room with, you know, waiting too late to go in with these serious issues. Has that, in fact, happened? I mean, have you seen an impact? And if so, what type of impact at the ER since the Affordable Care Act went in place? And for that matter, we've got some people running who say they want to either expand it and others saying they want to repeal it. What might the impact be on the hospital, especially the emergency room, if either of those scenarios were to take place?
Well, I think that the impact in the emergency room has probably been greater after the enactment of the Affordable Care Act. We're seeing more patients maybe that don't have insurance and they continue to use that emergency room as their, as I said before, their primary care physician. Again, that's an educational process. Mm-hmm. The flow of dollars for reimbursement is being cut dramatically. Yeah. And one of the other things that we do out of our budget is the intergovernmental transfer. We refund back to the Grossmont Corporation the $1 million a year to help offset the reduction in the Medicaid and the Medicare reimbursement rates. Those rates are still going to be under attack, and they're being cut. And it's making more and more difficult to continue. You do need to be profitable.
Yeah, exactly.
We can't continue to run into loss.
That's true. Virginia, I'll let you weigh in on this one.
Well, I think Bob is right. Education is very important, and getting more access to the urgent care and educating patients who don't have primary care physicians how to get one. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times people don't know where to go because they haven't established a primary care physician, and then they end up coming into the emergency room as the only alternative they know of.
One of the initiatives on the statewide ballot this time around potentially could legalize recreational marijuana. I am curious if the district is or should be gearing up to handle whatever impacts that could have on the healthcare system, on emergency treatment, or perhaps educating the public things they ought to know. Has the board addressed that issue yet, Bob?
Yes, we have. Just at the last board meeting, we all voted to oppose that initiative. This is a Schedule I, Class I drug.
It's a gateway drug at the federal level.
It's an issue that we would see continuing to impact the quality and access to medical care. I am personally opposed to that, and will support the opposition. There is some discussion and some science about the effects of medical marijuana. I'm not a scientist. I'm not in a position to really comment on that. But I would be, as well as the board last week, opposed that initiative completely.
Okay. Virginia, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I would agree with the board. I think it needs to be addressed at the federal level before it can come to the state, even though I know there's a lot of people wanting it out there. I think for treatment with patients medically that have chemotherapy, I think that's something that we need to take a look at the research and see what it's showing. But personally, I think that it has a tendency to encourage people with depressions to abuse it. And I really am opposed to it because I think there's better ways to deal with that.
Thank you very much. Recently, the hospital faced allegations that it violated patient privacy with an undercover camera that was in the operating room as part of an investigation into alleged drug theft. And the videos revealed some female patients unclothed. Just today, I don't know if you've heard the news yet, but as we're taping this, the Medical Board of California announced it was dropping all of the charges against the doctor who was accused of taking the drugs, and he claims he was targeted because he was a whistleblower. I would like to know what your comments are on the whole situation, and if you think changes in procedures or policies should be put in place to better protect patient privacy, even if there is legitimate need for an investigation. Virginia, we'll let you go first on that one.
Well, I think privacy is a high priority. To have a camera in an operating room and have an exposed patient, I mean, if that was me, I would be livid. And I think there's other ways that you could get evidence to prove the physician was taking drugs. I mean, there's other ways to do that. But I think privacy, I mean, they've almost gone overboard with privacy issues. But I think in this case, the camera shouldn't be in the operating room and where a patient is exposed.
Okay. Bob, I'd like your comments on that. And also, if you can tell us when the board first became aware that the hospital was doing this with the camera.
I think the protection of patient privacy is paramount. If a patient wants to have the camera in the operating room, that could be their choice.
Mm-hmm.
I first became aware of this situation several months ago, and I know that the hospital has addressed it and has taken appropriate action.
They have reached out, I understand, to the patients whose privacy was compromised and so forth. So you learned about it after it was a done deal, not before the camera was...
Well, by saying a done deal,
I would say after this hit media, after, in other words, not before the cameras were placed in the operating room.
That's correct.
Okay. Right. I would like to ask each of you if there is any other issue that I haven't asked about that you would like to discuss and share with our listeners. Bob, I'll let you go first.
Access to quality health care has to be at the forefront of what we're involved with in mm-hmm. Relationship and the public-private partnership between Grossmont Hospital Corporation and the district.
Do you have specific ideas for improving that access?
Well, I think just as an example, I also sit on the Association of California Healthcare Advocacy Board and okay. Finance Boards. The district was just awarded a transparency certificate. It's the highest certificate that can be awarded by the ACHD. We're very honored by that, and we're very honored that we are transparent to the public in every way, shape, and form that we can be to meet that very exacting criteria. So we'll continue to be transparent. We're going to be forefront, and we will address those needs as they come to the board in a timely and efficient manner, all the while protecting our fiduciary responsibility to the taxpayers to protect their investment and their use of the taxpayers' funds to complete the projects.
Okay. Virginia, how about you?
Well, I think, I think one of the issues that is impacting the East County is mental health issues that are out there. It causes a lot of homelessness. And I think we have to look at better ways to get these people help. It's a tough situation because there's rights of patients and people that you can't force patients or people to come in and get help. But you want to have it accessible so that they can, when they are ready, to come in and try to get help.
Yeah, that's a very important issue. You mentioned homelessness, and certainly I know that mental health issues are responsible for many of the police incidents that we have countywide. Mm-hmm. So it is a very crucial issue.
Well, I think also some of the things that we need to do is make more AA meetings available, Narcotic Anonymous, so that a lot of times the dual diagnosis is a circle of problems. And
yeah.
I think by hopefully in some way giving more grants, scholarships for that kind of medical unmet.
That's a good point. Does the healthcare district have the ability to get grants for helping people with medication costs who maybe can't afford it? I know we had a member of our own staff for a while that was having a lot of trouble affording heart medication after a quintuple bypass, and others who may have trouble paying for their bipolar medication or EpiPens, which has been all over the news. You may have allergies, but who can afford $500 for the EpiPen? So is that something that is within the power of the district to do anything about?
Well, through some of the grant funding, those very issues are addressed by the individual recipients of the grants. And as Virginia said, the mental health and behavioral health issues are very, very important to this community, and they're growing at a rate that is being very difficult to manage.
Yeah. Your thoughts on the medication cost issue, Virginia?
Well, I think there's programs out there. It's just a matter of getting the people that are having the issues to admit and come in and get help. I know that Medi-Cal is available and other programs that will provide the medicine. Now, with someone with a medical problem like you mentioned, mm-hmm. their insurances should be paying for something like that, or at least a good portion of it. And I know there are a lot of programs out there through pharmaceutical companies that will provide alternatives, medications that they'll provide them at a much lower cost than normal.
Yeah, it certainly can be a big problem for elderly people who maybe have six or seven different medications, and even if insurance is paying part, if you're living on Social Security, that doesn't go too far. So it is a big societal issue.
One of the important things about the Affordable Care Act was the readmission rates. Mm-hmm. If a patient is discharged and then readmitted within 30 days, it's a very costly and non-reimbursable process.
Yeah.
So oftentimes you discharge a patient, you give them the medication, and then they don't follow the steps.
Right.
So the Grossmont Hospital has instituted a plan to make contact with those patients on a one-on-one basis to make sure that they are following up with the proper medications.
Good idea.
And it's a great idea.
And has that reduced
and
the readmission?
That has been a tremendous
Good.
Help in getting some of those patients conforming and back into their own medical plan and then not having to come back in for readmission.
Very nice. Do the two of you have endorsements that you would like to share? Virginia?
I'm excited that I have Joel Anderson has endorsed me, as well as both the mayor, Bill Wells of El Cajon, as well as Randy Vopel from Santee, the mayor. I've also had the Republican Party of San Diego, also the Police Officers Association, and the Conservative Republican Assembly has also endorsed me, along with all of the Padre Dam board members have endorsed me. I've had other...
Quite a list.
Yeah, I have a list of many people that have endorsed me because they know that I have integrity, and they know that I can be a problem solver and that I can do the job.
Okay.
And I think, you know, they realize I'm the most qualified.
Well, Bob, I've got to let you get a word in here.
Well,
tell us you about your endorsements.
Thank you. I do have a couple of sponsors and endorsers. County Supervisor Diane Jacob, Silliman Brian Jones, the Republican Party of San Diego County, Grossmont Healthcare District Board Emeritus Bob Yarris, Grossmont Healthcare Corporation Board Member Emeritus Professor of Public Health, San Diego State University, Dr. Michael Petticord, Grossmont High School Governing Board Member James Derringer, and also the El Cajon Police Officers Association. I'm very honored to be endorsed by such a distinguished group of...
I want to ask each of you if you have anything else that you'd like to add that I haven't already asked you about today, and we'll let you have the final word. Bob, you
can... Okay. Well, thank you, Marian, for the opportunity to have the little interview and get to the publics, our qualifications and beliefs and standards of which we want to carry forward. I look forward to continuing to serve for another 4 years and seeing these projects through and on budget and completed timely.
Okay. Virginia?
Okay. Well, I think, you know, I've been going and sitting at the board meetings and following what's going on. And I think Bob Ayers has been doing a great job. Mike Emerson has been doing a great job. And I think that I would make a good addition to this board with my medical experience and my business background also.
I want to thank both of you very much for taking the time out to join us today on the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ.
Thank you. Thank you, Marian.
Thank you.